Well, hi there. You are listening to the Gateway Tipton podcast. Connor is bringing us the 16th message in our Sermon on the Mount series. This was recorded at the Atoka campus on September 22nd. So let's get started. Hey, I'm Kelly. Thanks for listening. We publish new messages pretty much every week for those that missed a message, want to hear it again, or maybe even share it with friends. For more information about Gateway or to view show notes, visit gatewaytipton.com. Now, here's the message.
Good morning, church. How's everybody doing this morning? What a great way to work. What a great day to worship the Lord. What a great day to worship the Lord. I just want to say, remind you guys again that tonight at Bellevue at 6 o'clock, we'll be meeting for the Who's Your One rally. And I really, really encourage and challenge you guys to be there. Everything that we sang, into the Lord and worship, His blood speaking for us. And man, that ought to be our prayer for those who aren't His yet. It ought to be our prayer that the Lord would continue to save and even use us in that so that His blood would speak for those who don't know Him as Lord yet. And what an opportunity we have tonight to go and get excited to pray and be trained and be gospel-hearted and focused and minded at Bellevue and come together for this community, for the community of Tipton. So I challenge you guys to be there. So my name's Connor Kessler. For those of you who don't know me, again, in case you came in late, Brother Steve is and his lovely wife, Kim, are there in Israel. So he asked me to continue the Sermon on the Mount in his place. And with that said, if you guys could, go ahead and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew, chapter 6. And while you guys are turning there, Matthew, chapter 6, while you guys are turning there, I just want to say it is so fun and so good to be able to worship with you guys every week. I genuinely really do look forward to it. I love you guys, and it's an honor to be able to handle God's word, before you guys. And I love you guys. I love y'all. And so it's awesome to be here. God is so good. Matthew chapter 6, the verses that we are going to be focusing on today are verses 19 through 21, okay? Matthew 6, 19 through 21. And obviously we have been going through the Sermon on the Mount. And I just want to remind you guys that it's called the Sermon on the Mount, because at the beginning of Matthew 5, verses 1 through 2, Jesus would see the crowds, and He would go up on a mountainside, the Mount of Olives, and His disciples would follow Him, and here He would teach His disciples. Sermon on the Mount, Jesus's His original audience was, it was individual believers. It was individual believers. And so I want to ask you guys a question in opening up this sermon. Do you guys remember when you were in, well, y'all remember when you were younger and in school and you learned the term main idea, or what a main theme was, or maybe even a thesis statement when you had to write essays? Yeah, you guys remember that? Y'all main idea? All right, and I'm gonna go ahead and tell you guys off the rip. This is what I'm about to say, to give an example, is incredibly cheesy, but it's on my mind and I really want to do it. Y'all clapping, don't even know what I'm saying. But anyway, so I was, in preparing my message, I was thinking of one of the scenes that really makes me laugh. It makes me laugh a lot. In Lord of the Rings, it's like the third movie, Return of the King, and you've got these three characters. You've got Frodo, Samwise the Brave, and you got Smeagol. And Sam and Frodo are hobbits. They're going to destroy this ring, okay? If you don't understand all that, it's okay. Bear with me. Along the way, Sam's a bigger fella, and even younger fellas, what we do as humans, we get hungry. And they're hungry. They haven't had a lot to eat. And Sam, just out of nowhere, out of somewhere, he's hungry. It's just coming from cravings, obviously. Wow, we talked about fasting last week. He's hungry, and he says, man, I really wish we had some taters. Really wish we had some potatoes. And Smeagol's like, potatoes? I can't talk like them. And Sam goes, potatoes. Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew. And you guys are thinking, what in the world are you saying? But my point is, in that conversation, You know, they're hungry. In that conversation, the main idea was the versatility and the deliciousness of potatoes. Yes, church, it's true. I didn't say anything about steak. I said something about potatoes. But we get to the Sermon on the Mount. And it's a sermon that goes from Matthew 5 to Matthew 7. And I believe there is a main theme in the sermon. And I believe Jesus makes it clear. And it's good sometimes to revisit that. If you would, really quickly, I believe Matthew 5:20, Jesus gives this main theme, this main idea. So hear this verse, or see it. You're just a page away from it. It says this. Jesus says, "For I say to you, that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." And with that, I would say, I believe the main theme, the main idea of this whole Sermon on the Mount is true righteousness. Okay, and I know those are church words. What that means is, I believe Jesus is teaching his disciples what it looks like to live rightly before the Lord. He's teaching them how to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. He's teaching them how with their thoughts, with their actions, by the way, the actions which flow out of the heart, how to bring glory to the Lord God. And in this sermon, we've learned a lot of different things. And Jesus has called out these religious leaders. And he's talked about, not long ago, we're still in Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus is calling out these religious leaders. He's saying, because the religious leaders, the Pharisees, hear this, they were concerned about looking good on the outside. You see, they wanted this external righteousness. In other words, they were worried about how good they looked. They tried to look holy. And Jesus said that their reward was in full from the praise of men. Jesus is concerned with our heart. He's concerned with internal righteousness. He's concerned with our heart. And by the Pharisees, religious leaders, they were concerned with conduct. Jesus is concerned with character. And by the way, conduct flows out of character. The Bible says that what comes out of the mouth is that which fills the heart. Matthew 12:34. And that's an easy way to remember that verse is it's Matthew 1, 2, 3, 4. Matthew 12:34. That's free, of course. I've always wanted to say that's free, of course. So far in the Sermon on the Mount, we've learned what the Beatitudes are. We've learned about salt and life, salt and light. We've learned that Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. We've learned about anger and murder. We've learned about adultery and lust and divorce and remarriage. We've learned about oaths. We've learned about loving your enemies. And quite recently, we've learned about how to give in secret, how to pray in secret. And last week we learned how to fast in secret in a way that honors the Lord. This morning, verses 19 through 21, kind of the topic in this sermon, if you will, we're going to be looking at treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven. But before we get into that, I would really like to read the very end of this sermon as a means to encourage you as we hear from God's word. Matthew 7, 28 and 29 says this. This is kind of the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, 28 and 29 says, "When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes." Church, may this morning, may we be amazed at what God has to say through his word. And may we not just be amazed, may we not just hear it, but may we apply it and obey it. Obedience is how we prove our love to him. So before we really get started, let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would speak to us so clearly this morning. I pray that you would remove all distractions, remove everything that we're thinking about, whether it's what we're going to do after, whether it's what we're going to eat after, remove all of that and let us focus on you. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. My rock, my Redeemer, speak to us, Lord Jesus. In your name, amen. So we come to Matthew chapter 6, and before we get in verses 19 through 21, I want to call your attention to an observation I made. The word Father is used 12 times in chapter 6, and I believe Jesus is really emphasizing the significance that Christians have, the significance of the relationship that Christians have with God the Father. For those who have confessed Jesus as Lord and put our faith and hope and trust in them, for those who have turned away from sin and turned to the Lord Jesus, He has saved us. He has forgiven us of sin, and He's adopted us. And so Jesus is really emphasizing just the importance of this relationship. Guys, how awesome is it that we can know El Shaddai, God Almighty, as our Father? How awesome is it that we can cry out to Him, Abba, Father? And He longs for that. He desires that. How awesome is that? And in saying that, Jesus is going to bring up two temptations that distract us from that relationship with God. You see, God didn't just save us and that was it. He saved us, yes, praise the Lord. If we've surrendered to the Lordship of Christ and turned away from our sin and turned to Him, He saved us, but it doesn't end there. In fact, it begins. He's called us to pursue holiness. In 1 Peter 1:16, He says, be holy, for I am holy. And He's given us a purpose-driven life, but in that pursuit of holiness, in that pursuit of being His church and serving Him and bringing Him glory, in that pursuit of seeking first the King and the kingdom, we're so easily distracted. And in Matthew 6, he brings two temptations. There's two temptations that we can be distracted with. The first, which we've kind of been talking about in the prior few weeks, are there's the temptation of seeking to be noticed as someone spiritual so that men or people could praise us. There's that temptation. The second temptation, the one that we're going to dwell on today, is this. There's a temptation of seeking and investing in treasures on this earth and thus being like the world. The temptation of seeking and investing in treasures on this earth. Have any of you guys ever once in your life looked at something someone had? Perhaps it was your neighbor, a friend, or have you ever looked at something and have you ever said, man, if I just had that one thing, I would be set. Anybody ever said that? I have tons of times. I'll give you an example. So, yeah, tons of times, literally. I'll give you an example. So, I'm getting on up there in age. If you, y'all think it's funny. I don't think it's funny at all. So, I used to make fun of my brother. I used to call him Mount Baldy because he had a little bald spot. Now I'm going bald and he's not. God has a sense of humor. But I'm realizing that it's a lot easier to gain weight. And I'm like, and one of the things that I look at is I love playing basketball, and I always used to say, man, if only I had keys to an indoor gym, I would be set. I don't know if you guys know this. All of my friends out there, my warriors trying to burn those calories, playing basketball is a calorie blaster. You can really burn them off. And I have found myself so many times saying, man, if only I had keys to a gym, that would really help me out in all of that. But guys, I would say that we are so tempted to covet. We are so tempted by these distractions. And these distractions, what they do is they take our mind off heavenly things. They take our mind off of doing what matters and seeking first the Lord and His kingdom and pursuing holiness. And before we get into these three little verses, I want to ask two questions real quick. The first one is this: where is your heart? If you could ask yourself right now, if you would, like in your mind, where is your heart? Is your heart seeking after self or is it seeking after the Lord? In so many ways, guys, we are so good at appearing like everything is all good, aren't we? We can change our faces to make it look like we're doing great. You know, we're really spiritual, but inside, in our heart of hearts, we could be struggling with discipline, with temptations. We could be struggling with desires. So where's your heart? And the second question I'd say is this. I want to ask before we read these three verses. What is your treasure? What is your treasure? And I'll say this. Both of these questions can be wrapped up into one question. Because Jesus says very clearly in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So where is your treasure? Because what you treasure, that's going to show where your heart is. So where is your treasure? All right, y'all look at Matthew 6:19-21. We're finally going to read the verses. Here we go. Matthew 6:19-21, it says this. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I had a really hard time like making the famous 3-point Baptist sermon. So this morning, I've got 2 points for you. And here's the thing. I didn't even make the points. They come straight from God's word. And in saying that, here's the first point that I'd like us to focus on. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. There's a few biblical examples that come to mind when I think of this verse, when I think of people in the Bible who have stored up treasures for themselves on earth. And the first is Achan. Maybe you've heard of Achan, maybe you haven't. Achan, you can find out all about Achan in Joshua 6 and in Joshua 7. Just to tell you a little bit about him, Achan was he was part of the Israelites, the people that God chose to represent him and fight their battles for. And so Israel was about to go, they were about to fight Jericho. And be reminded that Jericho was that, they were that nation, that place with the big fortified walls. And God had given the Israelites some pretty weird instructions to go about, you know, pursuing them and fighting them. Before it even happened, though, God gave these instructions to his people. He says, he told Joshua to tell the people, through Joshua, he says to the Israelites, do not take any accursed items that are under the ban. Don't take any accursed items that were under the ban. He says, don't take some of these items. He says, now all the gold that you get, all the bronze that you get, all the silver, all the iron that you get, all of that is going to go into the Lord's treasury. But do not take any other accursed items that are under the ban. And when God gives instructions, he doesn't have to give a reason for giving them, does he? He is God. If he gives instructions and he doesn't give a reason, that's fine. But in this case, he does give the reason for his instructions. He says, don't take any of these accursed items that are under the ban, because if you do, you will be accursed. You will covet. And when he says you, he's talking about the nation here. He's talking about the people. You will covet. There will be trouble among you. Sure enough, Israel goes, the walls come falling down in Jericho. The Lord and the Lord alone gives the battle to the Israelites. And this man named Achan, he took 3 accursed items. He took a beautiful robe from Shinar. He took 200 shekels of silver. And he took a gold bar that weighed 50 shekels. And after that, shortly, their Israelites are about to go to war at Ai. And Ai is like, they're like, oh, Ai, there's not many of them. Well, you know, we'll just send, you know, maybe 2,000 or 3,000 and we'll be good. Ai ate their lunch and pursued them all the way back. 32 men of Israel, they died. Why? Because Achan disobeyed the Lord. And as a result, Achan was put to death. His family was put to death. And guys, Achan stored up for himself treasures on earth. The other example is the rich young ruler, which you may be familiar of. This rich young ruler, he comes to Jesus. You can find this in Matthew 19, 16 through 22. And he asks this question, and it's a really important question. He says, Jesus, how might I have eternal life? Jesus, looking at his heart, Jesus says, well, you have to keep these commandments. And he says, which ones? Jesus says, you shall not murder. You shall not steal, you should not commit adultery, you should not bear false witness against your neighbor, honor your mother and father, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the rich young ruler says, I've kept all these, what am I lacking? Then Jesus says, if you want to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor. And Jesus says, and you will have treasure in heaven. Well, the rich young ruler, he decides to walk away grieved. The Bible says, because he had much property. See, the rich young ruler, guys, he appeared to have it going on, right? When it came to keeping the commandments between him and someone else, he did not bear false witness. He did not murder. He did not steal. But when it came down to choosing his riches and his wealth over Jesus Christ, his desire was on his wealth and his riches. And you see, the rich young ruler stored up for himself treasures on earth. Both of these men were willing to disobey God for the sake of earthly treasures that would not and did not last. And guys, I would say this real quick. The things that we store up on earth, anything that we can touch, anything that we can put in our hand, these material things, they will not last. They are temporary. And that begs the question again, where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? Are you storing up for yourselves treasures on earth? Are you investing in earth, what you have on earth? Are you storing up treasures on earth, or are you storing up treasures in heaven? Are you earthly minded, or are you heavenly minded? Are you investing in the here and now? Are you investing in future eternity? Are you seeking first the King and His kingdom? Are you seeking first to build your own kingdom? Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:19 again, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why? Or he says, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Jesus uses these three elements in kind of talking about don't store treasures on earth. He talks about the moth, rust, and the thieves. Now, the moth, have you guys ever seen a moth? So these moths are, they're like, you know, they're these butterfly-looking things, jokers. They're white, they're gray. I don't think this has ever happened to me, but I had a friend in high school. His name was Zach Kretschmann, and he came in one day in his these booger green Walmart Faded Glory Bolivar Central High School uniform polo shirts, and there were holes all over them. There was these little bitty, and he put it on everything. I said, man, what happened? He said, moth. He said, a moth got in there. I said, a moth? And evidently, I didn't know this, but if you let a moth get in your hamper or you let a moth get in your laundry basket, it will absolutely destroy the most expensive fabric you have. Moths will absolutely destroy clothes. Jesus also talks about the rust, and staff, I know this especially, but if you guys know me, or just, I guess, see me a lot at church, one thing I'm not very good at is shaving. I'm just not good at it, and to be honest, I don't really enjoy it that much, and I know I need to every now and then because I look like Shaggy with a little combination of hairs of a calico cat, but anyways, I'm not the best. You're not supposed to get excited about that. I'm not the best at shaving, right? And so when I do shave, I like to be efficient. I like to get the cheapest the shaving cream. You know, I like to be efficient. You know, I got to drain in the sink, got to drain in the shower. I just prefer to get it all done. You know, be efficient. Well, what I learned is when you get that Barbasol shaving cream, evidently it's metal and aluminum. I read the ingredients long after what happened. If you put it in that shower and water gets on it, sure enough, it's gonna rust. And there's going to be a circle of rust. And I don't know if your mom's was as disciplinary as my mom, but I got in big trouble when rust got in the shower. And the point I want to make is this, that rust absolutely destroyed that section of the shower. Mom wasn't happy about it. Rust destroys. I couldn't get it out, guys. It's a chemical reaction I learned. Change properties. The moth, rust, and then you got the thief. You got the thief. And guys, if you've got a lot of money or if you've got special things, maybe it's common that you have a safe. For me, I got this little $19 Walmart box. I put all my precious stuff in there. But in my house, that box is hidden. Yeah, like I don't want anyone to know where it is. And for a wealthy man, maybe a wealthy man has a safe. He puts all his prized possessions in there, maybe jewelry. And if they're really wealthy, then maybe they have a bodyguard. Maybe there's hidden switches behind picture frames. But when it comes to a thief's desire is to get in and steal the wealthy man's prized possessions. The thief will do whatever he can to get in. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. I think of you when I think of that, Brother Chuck, that talk we had where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Where is your treasure? Jesus says, do not store up earthly treasures. And that begs the question, what are earthly treasures? And I would say this, earthly treasures are anything that we seek after, invest in, or value before the Lord and His kingdom. Earthly treasures are anything we seek after, invest in, or value before the Lord. Earthly treasures could be money. It could be, you know, clothes, keeping up with the newest style or newest drip. Having the newest shoes. It could be money. It could be clothes. It could be cars. It could be a brand new home. It could be your home in general. It could be a new fancy boat, a video game, or spending unlimited times a video game. Younger guys having unlimited V-Bucks. It could be NFL Sunday ticket. It could be college football. It could be instruments. Anything that you can touch or put in your hand. It's anything that we value or seek before the Lord, or invest in, and be reminded, and maybe you treasure money and wealth. Maybe you treasure long periods of playing video games. Maybe, like the religious leaders, you treasure the praise of men. You treasure, like it brings you a lot of joy to appear to be spiritual. If people look at you as spiritual. And be reminded that these religious leaders, literally in verses right before this, Jesus said they desired to be noticed, they desired to appear holy, they valued the praise of men, and Jesus said their reward in full is what they got from men, and they had no reward in heaven. All earthly treasures have three things in common. They're temporary, they will not last. They're perishable, they are decaying as we speak, and number three, they will not satisfy. Moth and rust will destroy earthly treasures. The thief will come in and steal it. Now, let me say this. It is not wrong to possess things. It is wrong if things possess us. It is wrong if we put these things and seek these things before the King and His kingdom. It is wrong if we are using these things in any other way than bringing glory to God and furthering His kingdom. Again, Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Point number two, final point, is Matthew 6:20. Jesus says, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. Jesus is calling us to store up eternal treasures that cannot and will not ever fade away. And when it comes to eternal treasures, moth and rust, they cannot destroy it. Thieves cannot break in and steal it. And that begs the question, what are these treasures? Are there any rewards that await Christians? Are there treasures in heaven? And guys, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. I do want to say very briefly that the Bible talks about treasures in heaven. It talks about rewards. Let me just give you a few examples. The Bible mentions rewards that await the believer who serves the Lord faithfully in this world. Matthew 10:41. A great reward is promised to those who are persecuted for Jesus' sake. Jesus says that He will bring rewards with Him when He returns. Revelation 22:12. Paul encourages servants that God has an eternal reward for those who are motivated to serve Christ in Colossians 3:23 and 24. Also, there's five crowns mentioned that believers can receive in heaven. What I do want to focus on is this, and if I lost you, come back. How do we store up for ourselves treasures in heaven? I mean, Jesus is clearly saying, don't store up treasures on earth. He says, but instead, store up treasures in heaven. The question is, how do we do that? And I would tell you, church, this is how we do that. When we live, hear this, when we live sacrificially for Jesus' sake and we serve Him by serving the body of the Christ, we store up treasures in heaven. When we don't follow after false teachers, we store up treasures in heaven. When we cheerfully give, we store up treasures in heaven. When we honor the Lord in our marriages or when we honor the Lord in our singleness, we store up treasures in heaven. When in whatever we do, whether word or deed, when we give name to the Lord Jesus, giving glory to God the Father, we store up treasures in heaven. Whatever we eat, whatever we drink, if we give glory to God, we store up treasures in heaven. When we love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, we store up treasures in heaven. When we love our neighbor as ourself, we store up treasures in heaven. When we give to the poor, we store up treasures in heaven. When we care for the widows and the orphans, Jesus calls that true religion, we store up treasures in heaven. When we live unstained by the world, we store up treasures in heaven. When we value and practice intentional private prayer and intentional corporate prayer, we store up treasures in heaven. When we fast privately in a way that honors the Lord, we store up treasures in heaven. Church, when we do anything that has eternal value, or when we do anything that brings glory to God, or when we do anything that furthers and spreads His kingdom, we store up treasures in heaven. And I'd say this, one of the best ways that we as Christians can store up treasures in heaven is when we reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, the treasure of a soul coming to Christ, right? Oh, the treasure of that. Oh, the treasure it is when a soul is crossed over from death to life. What a treasure it is when you have a new brother in Christ. What a treasure it is when you have a new sister in Christ. What a treasure it is when someone is born again, when someone is justified, sanctified, when someone is glorified, when someone is adopted by God, when the blood of Jesus speaks for them, when someone has the Holy Spirit indwelling in them. When we disciple, what a treasure it is that Jesus has an inheritance for those who love Him and are surrendered to His Lordship and have faith in Him. And these treasures, these spiritual investments, when we disciple one another, encourage one another, love one another, pray for one another, serve one another, give to one another, these spiritual investments, moth and rust can't destroy it, and the thieves cannot break in and steal it. And the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he cannot steal the abundant life of the good shepherd's sheep. That is something to celebrate about. That is what it looks like to store treasures in heaven, to live not for where we're at now, but to live and do things to further His kingdom in the life to come. What are we doing that is eternal significance? Who are you investing in? Where is your heart? What do you treasure? You know, I think of Jesus, it's incredibly convicting for me. I think of Jesus and when I read scripture, I constantly see that Jesus always had people on His heart. Constantly had people on His heart. He saw people and He didn't just see them, He had compassion on them. And He served them. He came to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus constantly had people on His heart. I think a great question to ask in reading and studying these verses is, are people on your heart? Because I'm going to tell you something, church. When we have Jesus and others on our heart, man, we can't help but love. We can't help but serve. We can't help but store up treasures that are in heaven. Church, oh, the treasures that await a child of God. And I'd say this. Man, there's so many people in the world that they are building their kingdom here. Man, there's so many people that, and guys, I'm just going to be real with you. I get caught up in it too, and I'm the first one to struggle with this. But it's so easy to live for the here and now instead of living for eternity. When in everything that we have, all these material things, they will not last. They will decay. But everything that we have in heaven, every time we share the gospel and reach someone for Christ, that is a spiritual investment. Man, that's what laying up treasures in heaven looks like. And living for Him, storing up treasures in heaven is so, so worth it. It's so worth it. And storing up treasures in heaven, living and pursuing holiness on this side of eternity, it outweighs any inconvenience, any persecution, or any trouble that we may possibly face. Paul said in Romans 8:18, hear this. He says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. A lifetime of pain. And when I say lifetime, I mean, we think of lifetime, we think of a long time. Guys, our life here is short. James says in 4:14, it is but a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. A lifetime of pain for the sake of Jesus is worth an eternity of glory. And I'd say this, the greatest treasure of them all is knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Guys, if I were to ask the whole church or a group of people, what is the very, and my students have heard me say this so many times, but what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of how awesome it is to be, if what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the words eternal life? What is the first word that comes to your mind? You know, the first word that used to come to my mind would be heaven. Heaven. Right? Heaven. And Jesus says in John 17:3, and this is eternal life. Jesus Himself is about to tell us what eternal life. He says in John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they, His disciples and those who would come to know Him, that they may know You, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent. Guys, he is, yes, for those who are born again, for those who have surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus, yes, Jesus goes and prepares a place for us. And yes, heaven is awesome. And so often I hear people talking about heaven, and I was once one of these who would mention it, but so often you hear about the no pain. You hear about the joy and ending joy. You hear about that there will not be a single tear. You hear about the mansion. You hear about the streets of gold. And while all of that is good and awesome, you better believe the greatest part about heaven is the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you better believe he will outshine everything there, including the streets of gold. Let me share this verse with you. Revelation 21, 23. And the city, that's referring to New Jerusalem, what will be the Christian's eternal home one day. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it. For the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. I think a good question to ask ourselves, do you want to go to heaven? Would you want to go to heaven if Jesus isn't there? What's your treasure? Would you really want to spend an eternity in heaven if the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gave your life, the one who shed his blood, the one who substitutionary death, the one who died in your place wasn't there? Is Jesus truly your treasure? And if the answer is yes, do your words, do your thoughts, do your actions, do they line up with that answer? I want to ask you guys a question that Jeff brought up in staff meeting, a question that I've asked some of our students. When people think of you or they hear your name, is the first thing they think of is, wow, that person really loves and treasures Jesus Christ. Is that one of the first, is that the first thing they think of when they hear your name? In closing, guys, maybe you're in here this morning and Jesus has never, ever been your treasure. Maybe you're in here this morning and you have never, for your life, you have never truly given your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. Sin is anything against God. It's missing the mark. What mark do we miss? We miss the mark of goodness, which in God's standard is perfection. Sin is anything against God, and because we are sinners, that separates us from God because God is holy. Sin is our problem. Romans 6:23 tells us what the consequences of our sin is, what the wages is. It says, for the wages of sin is death, and death there is not just talking about physical death, it's talking about spiritual, eternal death. Hell, eternal separation from God. So what that verse is saying is this, guys, we don't just deserve, or we don't, we haven't just earned hell, eternal death. I mean, we don't just deserve it. We've earned it. It's our reward. Sin is the problem. Eternal death is the result. Jesus, he's the answer. Because the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus died on the cross for our sin. He never did a thing wrong. He died on the cross. Just as Jay talked about the gospel, Jesus died. He was buried according to the scriptures. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. And why we celebrate that, why that is so big is this. He defeated sin. And we now can have a relationship with God through and only through Jesus, because it is Jesus and Jesus alone that defeated sin. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's really, really clear, isn't it? And in Romans 10:9, he tells us, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, that word means master, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's not just believing in him. It is believing in him. But it's also repenting, turning away from your sin, and surrendering your life to Jesus. And if you've never done that, that is your first and most desperate need. And I'm going to tell you something. That, a relationship with Jesus, that is something to be treasured. Moth and rust can't destroy it. Thieves and the thief can't break in and steal that. Jesus says in John 10:28, regarding his sheep, regarding Christians, I give eternal life to them and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. He says in John 6:37, those that the Father gives me, I will never cast away. He says in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Paul says in Romans 8:38-39, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Hear this, our Lord. Maybe you're in here and God has made it abundantly clear that you're not treasuring Him in His kingdom. And if that's you, just think about your finances. If you were to have a financial report after bills, what do you spend the most money on in your life? What are you thinking about? What are the majority of your thoughts on? What do you do the most in your life? Are you storing up treasures in heaven? Or are you storing up treasures on earth? Are you focused on your life now or the life to come? What's on your heart? Is it self and things? Or is it the Lord Jesus and people? So maybe you need to make a decision this morning, and I'm going to invite you to do so in just a second. Maybe you've went through our starting gate, and you feel that God is calling you to this church, and man, we would be extra, extra excited. Or maybe you just need to come up and pray. Ask the Lord to forgive you and give you the desire to treasure Him in His kingdom. So Jay's going to come up, I'm going to pray, and we're going to have a time of invitation. Jeff will be up front with me. Let's pray. Father, You are so good. Father, it's, God, we don't even deserve to call You Father. We don't even deserve to know You as our Father. But Lord, it's because of Your love that we can. It's because of Your death on the cross and Your resurrection from the grave. God, I pray that You would reinvade our hearts and our minds. God, You would show us that these material things that we think about all the time and build up, that at the end of the day, rust and moth will destroy it. The thief can come in and steal it. But the things which we have in You, our relationship with You, our citizenship, God, everything we have in Christ, nothing can take that away. And it is absolutely worth investing in. Father, speak to us. Speak to Your people. And Father, speak to those who aren't Yours and call them to Yourself, that today would be the day of salvation. Father, we love You. We ask that Your way would be done. Spirit, move in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening. If you are ready to take your next step with Jesus, we would love to connect with you in person or even on social media. We're Gateway Tipton on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.